Welcome to a new episode of This Week in Apps, a weekly no-fluff, data-first roundup of interesting news and trends about mobile apps and games. I'm Ariel from AppFigures, and I've got five highlights for you this week. First, the mobile download index is kind of stagnant this week. We knew this would happen. We talked about it last week, how there's a February dip, mostly because of back to school, and games have a huge impact when it comes to the index. And so even though we see lots of new downloads from apps like Clubhouse, which we'll talk about in just a little bit, it's really not enough to offset the kids are no longer downloading apps for just a little bit. We expect this to last maybe another week or so as we get out and get into March. Things will rebound, and then we'll slowly climb back again. Now let's talk about apps. This week we published our list of most downloaded apps in January. We've done that in December and also in November. And the usual suspects, as I call them, are still here. Facebook has its quartet of apps. We're talking Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. And they're all in the top list. Now, this is a list based on downloads across the different platforms. So we look at downloads on the iOS App Store, we look at downloads on Google Play, and then we sum them all up and we look at a more global, what we call overall list. So Facebook is in all the lists, as you can imagine. WhatsApp had a kind of a mishap in January, and I wrote about that. They changed their terms a little bit. They scared some people off. Elon Musk threw his 2 cents into the ring, as did Edward Snowden, and lots of people left and moved over to Signal. And that's kind of the big trend that we saw in January. So while Facebook and TikTok and Zoom are still the most downloaded apps, we also see Signal on the list, which is kind of new. Not only that, usually TikTok is the number one across the board, but this month, or well, in January, Telegram managed to get just enough downloads to get ahead of TikTok. They're at about 8 million download difference. So 68 million downloads total for Telegram for January globally and across the two platforms, and 60.9 for TikTok. So just about 7 or 8 million downloads, which is enough to take the lead. I don't think this will continue. Telegram is big, and it's probably going to take number two in February. But at the same time, TikTok is just massive. And the demand for Telegram is going to drop a little bit just because it's no longer the buzzy thing to do. But the good news for Signal is that it went from almost nothing to a ton of downloads. And that's really putting it in front of people, and that means that it has a future. How's it going to monetize? That's a great question. How's it going to turn into a business? That's a great question. But I can ask that about pretty much any successful app that has not been acquired by Facebook at this point. If you're listening to this podcast, I have a feeling you probably tried Signal. Are you going to stick with it? I tried Signal and I kind of like it. I think it's a good app. It's better than other apps that I've used for messaging. If you're going to stick with it, leave a comment. Let me know. Now let's talk streaming. I love streaming. You all know if you've listened to this more than once. So if you read the newsletter, the Super Bowl was last week. And since we're all at home, it took place by app, which it's not a new thing. Last year we saw the same thing, and the year before we saw the same thing. Even the year before that, but the numbers are slowly growing. They're getting to the point where that's kind of the main thing to do. Now, watching a game on your phone is probably not an ideal experience. On your iPad or a big tablet is starting to get better, but it's really all about streaming it to your TV. And more TVs these days have some sort of component that you can stream, whether it's the Android side of things that's built into a bunch of TVs or an Apple TV, and you can just do that. So that makes these apps a lot more lucrative for streaming. CBS has the rights for this year, the previous year, and also 2019. And that's the way the networks switch between them. NBC has it, Fox has it, and CBS, and they switch. So I looked at the data for the last few years. In 2021, it's crazy, it's 2021, downloads for CBS across both their apps, the CBS main app and the CBS Sports, because I imagine people would get confused, and you can see that in the ranks. Both had a huge increase in downloads. Downloads reached 355,000 on Sunday alone. Last year was kind of iffy. The Super Bowl didn't really get a lot of viewership, so we're going to skip that year. But then 2019 was just about 300,000, 290, I think. So it's kind of a jump from last year. Now, I went a year back. In 2018, NBC owned the rights to stream the Super Bowl. And those numbers are really tiny. We're talking 65,000 downloads on Super Bowl day. So things are definitely going in up and to the right, as we would say, when it comes to streaming. Not surprisingly, of course. So another thing that happened during the Super Bowl is betting. Betting has become a thing you do with your app for quite a while now. And now that it's acceptable and legal in a bunch more places, you can see that it's actually taking off. DraftKings advertised. They had a huge spot in a draft of $1 million. And FanDuel did not advertise, not that I've seen at least. But they also had an increase in downloads because of the Super Bowl. And looking at that, you can tell that this is going to become a trend. Similar thing happened a few weeks ago because of a UFC fight. This is a Super Bowl, so it's much larger. DraftKings, which won this bet, landed about 80,000, almost 90,000 downloads. FanDuel, almost 50,000 downloads just on game day. So I think because this is such an interesting trend, and because people want to do this, whether you like it or not, whether you do it or not, people do want to bet their money on something. And an app is a really easy way to do it. I want to say, I want to correlate this to Robinhood and how people are betting on the stock market. I don't think it's exactly the same, but we're getting to this point where people do want to play and apps make it so easy. And so I think we're going to see more of this with every big sporting event. We'll see DraftKings again and FanDuel again. So really, it's not a question of whether there is demand. I think the question about whether these guys will grow is how hard can they market and get in front of people. So I see promotions, I see discounts, I see credits. I see them doing as much as they can to get in front of more people, and we'll see more and more of this. By the way, if you're curious about these numbers, all of this data is coming from our app intelligence platform, which you can actually access. So if you're interested in it, go check it out at appfigures.com/intelligence. The other big thing this week that has been kind of big for most of the year is Clubhouse. I talked about Clubhouse last week, but it's become so big that I can't not talk about it, even though I don't really want to talk about it for 2 weeks in a row. And why is it so big? Because last time I spoke, it reached 3 million downloads. Now we're talking 5.1 million downloads as of Wednesday. This growth is insane. It's still private, so you need to know someone who knows someone to get access. And it's still growing like crazy. Interestingly enough, about a half of that 5.1, 2.3 million, came in the first 10 days of February. Even more interesting, about 81% of those downloads did not come from the US. So we're talking about this fairly large market, very large, the largest of markets, international market, that is taking off for this app that is all about voice. The biggest country that is not the US, guess, Japan. Second largest, Turkey. So we're not even talking about English speakers, which is very interesting. I think I had my reservations about Clubhouse for the longest time because I did not think that people would want to talk to each other. But the idea of rooms and the idea of communicating kind of without directly communicating, you can listen to people, but you don't necessarily need to speak, is definitely interesting. And you can do that while you do other things. Kind of like why podcasts are taking off again. And so I'm definitely going to keep an eye on this concept. The other side of this is, can there be a social network or any sort of app or service that connects people that is not owned by Facebook and is successful? And the answer is maybe. Audio First is new enough that it's possible that they will be able to maintain their lead, and whatever Facebook does to clone them, whatever Twitter does to try and have a similar type of experience, it's just not going to take off because people who are used to Twitter's feed may not easily just want to start a conversation. And the same thing can be said about Facebook. But at the same time, Telegram, that's getting a lot of downloads, number one for January, also has a similar concept. And they announced that, I believe, last month, and it's going to be launching very soon. And so it's possible that this is no longer just a great idea by Clubhouse, but this is something that will become kind of ingrained in how we communicate and find its way into most other ways to communicate. Is Clubhouse still going to be the leader at that point? Unknown. Good question. We'll wait and see. But voice is making its way into the forefront, whether you like it or not. Last but not least is Robinhood. So I've been going over data that I've looked at in previous weeks because this year has been kind of crazy. So Robinhood rose to the top of the charts when the whole GameStop issue was going on. Was it an issue? Not really an issue, but the whole GameStop thing was going on. And then they stopped trading of GameStop and everyone hated them. So everyone tried to move over to someone else. So all the someone else's rose to the top of the charts and got a bunch of downloads. I talked about that a few weeks ago. But you would expect Robinhood to actually decline at this point. It peaked, great, and now going back to normal, but that's not the case. So in the beginning of December, November, December time, it was seeing about 30,000 downloads, according to our estimates. And then it peaked at 250,000 downloads at the height of the GameStop ordeal. But now it's actually getting about 150,000 downloads, so still 5x from what it did in December. And that's after most of the dust has settled. So there's still a lot going on, and I think we're going to see more going on as the government tries to step in and figure out what's happening and what to do. But it's no longer the main item for most news outlets. So even with that, they're still getting 5x the downloads. To me, that means that they made their way and have become popular enough that even though they blundered not too long ago, people have forgotten, or people don't understand what happened, or people don't care. And Robinhood is still going to win and advance ahead of companies and apps like E-Trade and Ameritrade and Fidelity just because the user experience is just so smooth and so simple for people who don't get it. I think that's also the problem with it. But I've seen them introduce more learning material and try to bring learning into the app. And I think that's actually really positive, really, really positive step. So I'm keeping an eye on this to see what would happen. That's it for this week. That was fast. If you like the show, please consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or subscribe to the newsletter at appfigures.com/newsletter. Enjoy your weekend.